I just got one question. Did you miss me? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you, your main man, Marvin Rome, and coming to you live. We got Dr. Maxwell in the house. We're going to be talking about recapturing, revisiting, and recreating the beloved community. We need to talk about this, y'all. Come on. Is no greater love than no greater love. Oh yeah. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, there is no greater love than for self and kind. Get that down in your spirit. No greater love. To African American Empowerment Saturday is 365 days of you know what for you know who. And guess why we're doing this? Because we need it. This is for our people, right? Let's exclude all others for just a minute and focus on ourselves. Like Brother Booker said, focus on being the one. Focus on developing community, redeveloping community, developing family, redeveloping families, developing institutions that define our own reality so that we can have our hand on the wheel of our future. Who else could do that but us? Right? So the idea is to be able to empower ourselves, right? Excluding all others, right? So on this show, you won't hear us talk about, oh, they did this and they did that. We're not talking about them. We're talking about us and what we can do and how we can restore and how we can resurrect and how we can do the work individually, how you can do the work, right? So when you're listening to the show, I want you to think about how can I apply this to my life? How about that? How can I begin to utilize these tools and these conversations to make a change right where I am first and then start to reach out to the broader community? The work has to be done individually and collectively. Like Brother Booker talked about being the one, you got to be the one now, right? But we have to all play our part. So we're going to talk about recapturing, right? And we have to do this, brothers and sisters. We're going to have to do this work, right? Nobody else could do this work for us. Right? We say it over and over again. Now, I have a quick thing I want to talk about. Somebody asked me a question about what is racism. So I want to speak to that before I get into the tenets of the NAAEA. Racism is simply one group of human beings. Check it out, man. You can decide for yourself. Determining that they were going to be superior than all other human beings, which is simply an incursion on humanity. It disrupts the pattern of humanity for any one group of people, particularly looking at how things are in the world, to marginalize and dehumanize another group of human beings, right? When you think about it on the humane level, right? What does that say about humanity, right? We have always been humane. We have always been, continue to be so. Even when we're in a disruptive state, right? Well, we're dysfunctional in many ways right now, but we can return. We're going to resurrect. We're going to do the work. But what I'm saying today is that we have to plus minus this thing now, right? We have to get back to our humanity. Right? It hasn't been taken away from us. We have to rediscover our humanity. We have to recapture, like Dr. Bruce said, the African mind. That's your job. Your job. Change your mind about things and stop getting in and fitting. That's later on with Brother Stan. You know, we got to do the Stan Mac in a moment. So African-American empowerment is about doing the work of working on ourselves, right? And I want you to think about this, right? Really, right? And it's not being braggadocious or anything, but who else is putting it out there saying, you know what, let's stop the wheels from turning right now and start doing this inner work where we're really working on ourselves, our hearts and our minds, that we can really give our children a future, right? And then to be able to navigate this system that we live in. Again, if we did our jobs on our part, the jails would be empty. The prisons would be empty. Think about that. But we have to collectively do the work of educating, leading, guiding, teaching, and developing our people. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We are having to learn how to be the head again, right? If you learn your history, you'll know that you were in the lead at one point, right? And we're coming back. We're coming back by doing the work of working on ourselves. We're not focusing on anybody else. We're not talking about anybody else. We're not blaming anybody else. Let's now focus on ourselves. Let's talk about ourselves. And if we have to blame anything, let's blame each other. Point the finger at ourselves for the work that we're not doing. Now, for the tenets of the NAAEA, simple, but real, we need a political agenda, right? That's globally, internationally, nationally, locally, state that you live in, each town that you live in. You have to understand the importance of having a political agenda wherever you are in this world. How about that? Right? So if you don't believe in the American system, it's okay, but you better have a political agenda that works for you, that puts systems in place to help your kids get a great education and become a positive, productive piece of our communities, that can create and develop Fortune 500 companies, that could be scientists for our companies and corporations, that we can develop ourselves and create resources for ourselves in our community that benefit us, not in a selfish way, but a very positive, productive way. That's right. That is what we have to do. We're going to have to do that work. We're going to have an economic agenda that really looks at economics and how money works, and then learn how to move that money so that we can be builders again, constructors again, right? That we can have these institutions that educate, teach, and develop our people. The next is the A. You got to get your A together, right? That's athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, mental health, physical health, and emotional health. You got to do that for yourself. You're going to have to put yourself number one and in charge of making sure that your health is your wealth and that you take care of that. However you do that, that means you need to get out and walk, right? Get your fitness regimen, push away from the table, stop eating the processed food products, right? Stop eating all the grease and all the salt and all the sugar. And that ends it. And then get you a great workout program where you start working that body, and that's how you get longevity. Work on the A. Next is cultural. Relevant cultural programs like this one and many, many more that really looks at how we can develop ourselves. We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do that. And it's simple, right? We're just going to have to do the work of educating ourselves on how important culture is. And that's for us to do. That's our work, right? And I'm going to continue to push and prod and really look at how we can begin to determine how to educate our people wherever they are on how we must change. That's what I'm going to do. That's the work that needs to be done. Lastly, that's E, which is the comprehensive education, right? That is a well-rounded education to get our people together, right? We got to start leading from the front now, right? From the middle and from the back, right? We need great leadership. We need great parents, great fathers, great mothers, great aunts, great grandmothers, grandfathers, and great people from our communities and our cultures who are really putting it together, stepping up and stepping out to say, you know what, we're returning, right, from being marginalized and enslaved and segregated and all of that stuff to being the great people that our ancestors were to go through what they did. You got to stand on their shoulders proudly and then stand back in the moment. Mm-hmm. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brother Stan is right. He's not with us physically, but he's still with us in spirit, and he said it. We have to stop trying to get in and fit in and create institutions that define our own reality, our own universities, our own scientific approaches to the world. We can do it, right? Our own corporations, our own Fortune 500 companies, our own research and development corporations, our own banks, our own institutions. That's what we have to do, and the work continues to be done. Brother George is not in today. He's out on assignment. But guess what? We got Brother Booker doing his segment on the one. Brother Booker, come on home. Bring it, baby. Bring it, baby. Bring it. Oh, yeah. Bring it. Rock with me, Booker. I see you. Brother Booker, are you there?
Yes, sir, Brother Marvin. How you doing, brother?
Welcome, welcome. I'm doing just great, man. Looking forward to the segment. What you got for me, brother?
Yes, sir. Let me first begin by saying peace to all brothers and sisters within the sound of my voice today, brother. And God knows we could use some peace and some knowledge and some understanding. And I'm kind of tying into what you already mentioned at the beginning of the program, brother. We've already talked about the first two characteristics of the one. Number one being the one is honest with himself or herself, which is the most important one of all. I learn more and more every day about just how vital that is, or important how that is, to be honest with yourself. The second one, the one loves himself. And see, that ties into number one. If you're honest with yourself, then we have to realize that, you know, we've been taught to hate ourselves. You know, we don't love ourselves. And so we have to learn to be honest and then love ourselves. And then the third one, which this ties right into, one loves his people. And you cannot love anybody if you don't love yourself, was number two. And then you love your people, because if you learn to love yourself, you automatically are going to love your people. It just becomes natural. Now, like I said before, your people you may not agree with the things your people do and say, et cetera, but when you're honest with yourself and you know yourself and you love yourself, you have an understanding for why your people are doing what they're doing, why they're functioning like they're functioning. And you can appreciate us more and understand us more. Now, we still can't readily trust all of us, because a lot of our people don't know, when you get to this point, what you know. And you have to be understanding of that and know that, like the sister that Armstrong told me one time, she said, Mr. Chambers, you got to understand, you've been here for, 70 years? You've seen a lot that we haven't seen. You understand and know a lot that we don't know and understand yet. She said, so appreciate where we are. And, of course, I learned that years ago, but that's what you have to realize. Okay, I have been around. I have seen some things. I know a little more. I've got a little more understanding. But I love my people, and I appreciate my people because I appreciate myself, which leads me to love my people. Those are the first three characteristics of the one, brother. And next week, I'm going to talk about the believing in oneself. Because the one has to believe in itself, which also going to translate into believing into your people. They all fall hand in hand, brother. You're going to see, of course, you know, Brother Marvin, as you go through the characteristics of the one, they all flow tied together. You know? Mm-hmm. Be the one. But, you know, be the one.
I like that, Brother Booker. Thank you, brother.
Again, recap. Give me a recap. The top three, the first three of being the one. And this is what I want y'all to practice, right? Practice embodying these principles that we're putting out here. Go ahead, give me the top three again, brother.
Top three. The first one, the one is honest with himself.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, the one loves himself, which leads into the third one, the one loves his people.
All right. Love your people. Love yourself. Thank you, Brother Booker. Continue to be the one.
Thank you, brother.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Driving every day.
That's what I'm talking about. Brother Booker is on. He's on it. So let's think about this, right? If we can do the work of just being honest with ourselves, right? And like Brother Booker said, loving yourself, and then you be prepared to love somebody else, right? The good book says love your neighbor as yourself. But how can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't know how to love your own self? You got to learn how to love your own darn self first. And that means that you got to do some refinement. You got to do some inner work, right? Getting rid of some of them ghosts on the inside. All right. So today we got Slido, right? Slido today is in effect. 1297790. The empowerment question of the week is, how do we begin to love ourselves again? Go out to Slido, right? Put your answer in. Brother George not here, so we need y'all to help today. And I'll go back and ask Brother Book in just a minute. Slido today, slido.com. Go out there, put this number in, 1297790, and put your answer in. How do we begin to start loving each other? Brother Booker, how do we begin to start loving each other again?
It goes back to number two. Well, be honest with yourself, number one. Got to be honest. Because when you're honest with yourself, we have to admit and accept certain things in our lives that have led us to be in a position to even hate ourselves. See, we must understand what has happened to us. You got to get that understanding, that knowledge, and that wisdom to understand what has happened to us. You know, let me say this, brother, if I can't preach it. For example, being honest with myself, when I studied slavery, when I go back to the plantation days, you know, that there were only two categories of black people on the plantation. Only two categories. And mama, I apologize up front, mama. But those two categories of black people on the plantation were field niggas and house niggas. That was it. You either were a field nigga or you were a house nigga. Okay? And this is being honest with myself. I had to realize from which I have come in this country. From the plantation, my people were field niggas, house niggas. The original field niggas were Mandingo warriors. They were kept chained and shackled at all night, all day. They worked in the fields by force, and they were an armed guard. So if they tried to run and escape, they got shot, they got killed. And at night, they slept in chains and shackles and with armed guards. This went on for 100 years, brother. Trying to break the field. The original field niggas hated their master. Like Master said, they wanted to get a loose, not to run up north to freedom. They wanted to get a loose to kill their master and try to free their people. That's what they were about, the original field niggas. Now, the original house niggas, well, the original house niggas hated their masters, too. They used to grind up glass and put it in the master's food and everything they could to poison the master and try to kill the master. But over years and selective breeding, and mating with the masters in the house and having children born in the house and so forth, the house niggas then became where they loved their master more than they loved themselves. Their job became to teach the field niggas how to act, teach the field niggas how to love master more than they love themselves. That became the house nigga job. And the house niggas set forth to do that. And going forward in our history, when we truly understand our history, every Negro, including myself, that was the first Negro to do anything in this country is a descendant of a house nigga. Not the original field niggas, because the original field niggas' descendants would not be wanting to be no first nigga to do anything. They want to get out of here and free their people and get away from master. They don't want to have anything to do with his system or his world. But unfortunately, brother, when we come forth in time, the original field niggas are no more. Field niggas today are wannabe house niggas. That's it. That's what field niggas today are, want to be house niggas. Field niggas today just want an equal opportunity to get in the house. They just want a fair shot at being in the house. They don't want to leave here, but we have to admit these things to ourselves. Being honest with yourself, that's where we come from, brother. That's where we are now. And that's a hard mindset to change, brother. That's a hard mindset to change because we have it in our minds of self-hatred. We love. We are Americans now, brother. Standing proud and tall to be American. We just want them to let us have an equal shot at getting in the house. That's it. We don't want to get away. We want to stay. And that's what we have to deal with. So when you're talking about loving yourself, who are you? The one. You're a child of God, as they say. You're like Jesus. God is in you. How do you hate that if you know who you are? Your nature. If we not, as they say, house niggers, field niggers, and all that by nature. We're natural, but born kind-hearted, loving people, brother, as you mentioned before.
True.
So when we get the knowledge of ourselves and we discover who we are, you got to love yourself, brother. And that leads you to loving your people and wanting to do the right thing because your nature, you know, you stand up, you're strong, you're representing the God in you. Be the one. And that's what we strive for, brother. That's what we strive for. Thanks for the opportunity to say
thank
that.
You, brother. Brother. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right. Got to be the one. That's the only way. Be the one. All right. 845-277-9250 is the call-in line today. And as I would say with Brother Stan, the deck is packed today. If you're listening live online, go over to Slido and give us some of your thoughts and opinions. There's nothing wrong with just putting your thoughts in. You don't have to get on the live line if you don't want to, but let's hear from you. This is the people show. This is your show. So go out to Slido, Slido.com. The number today is live, 129-7790. And now it's time for us to recapture, revisit, and recreate the beloved community with Dr. Lafayette Maxwell. Bring it, brother. Dr. Maxwell.
Bring it. What?
Would you bring it?
Yeah.
Dr. Maxwell.
Yes, sir.
Brother, how you doing today?
Doing great, brother. Couldn't be doing any better. If I could, I couldn't stand myself.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well.
All right. So you talked about recapture and revisiting part two and recreating the beloved community. Where do we start? Where do we start, Dr. Maxwell?
Yes, sir. Rebuilding of the beloved community. And like Brother Booker said, I had my notes. Know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
And be honest with thyself.
God,
and the pieces that we got to develop, and that's individual. See, all of us got, like you said, and Brother George and Brother Bruce, most of us, I'll say, have something that we don't like about ourselves that's been oppressed. And we've got to deal with that individually. Don't put nobody down in our conversations, but allow them to grow. And so I added on part two, rebuilding that beloved community is to restore our past and face our present situation, which I'm hearing today, and our future hope. Define as we move toward come together day and coming up with some form of institutional training so that some of the people that's on the line are brilliant, talented. When we get into this, we're going to be bringing you involved too because you are somebody, no question about it. And so I want to share this little piece here about attitudes. We've got to start off with attitudes. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, money, than circumstances, than failure, than success, than what other people say or do about you, say about you. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skills. It will make or break a company, a church, a home, etc. The remarkable thing we have a choice every day we wake up regarding our attitude that we will embrace each day. We cannot change the fact that people will act in certain ways. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing that we can do is play on the strings of our own life and our attitude. One scholar has said, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so with this, we've got to work on our attitude. And then I thought about Dr. Martin Luther King, the dream. He said, I want to live a long life.
Mm-hmm.
He knew death was coming. He said, but I'd rather die for the cause than to live in fear. He said, I want to live a long life. Longevity has its pace. But a brother or sister is already dead when they lose their dream. The sensation of breathing is nothing but a belated death of the body and the spirit. Peering any man or woman, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And so yesterday, I had an opportunity, Dr. Bridges was with us too, to go to a celebration of a family. So I want to take a journey to Durham, North Carolina, the Bull City, that Booker T. Washington called the Black Wall Street. Well, by the time this couple came to Durham, they allowed the East-West Expressway to destroy that black community. Thousands of businesses, homeowners, all kinds of stuff. In 1962, it hit Durham, North Carolina. It was a very progressive time, a town where nobody was talking about our Methodists, Baptists, and Catholics and going against one another. They came together in a common cause. And now we look at the times now. They're getting ready to gentrification in all of Durham. So all that was will not be as far as the powers that be think. But we can do something ourselves. We just got to find something I've said before that make us come alive. Even in the midst of our hurts, even with people putting our backs against the wall, even when it seems like the odds are against us, let's not major in that, what's against us. And even some of the current events everybody talk about, they're going to come and go. We need to listen to that voice that's inside of us. And two of the people that's very important, what you was talking about today and what the brother was talking about today, and on Slido, it was the same thing, that we don't love ourselves. And so part of what I'll be doing on this journey is Thurman's growing in the love of self, growing in the love of others, and growing in the love of whichever your higher power is. And then Dr. King, the three dimensions of a complete life. Number one, you got to learn how to love yourself. And in that little piece, Dr. King is transparent. That's what we got to do. There was a time in his life that he didn't love himself because he could not do statistics like a guy in the class. And he was trying to do it like that guy in the same spirit of time. And he said, I started flunking out. But he said something that wasn't true. He said, I just had to realize that brother was smarter than me. No, he wasn't smarter than you. He had been exposed to statistics. You may have to work a little harder, et cetera, and et cetera. And so let me share a few of the Slidos that we had to deal that came in. But Mom gave it to me July the 25th, 2023. The first one was, most of them were statements. We have to recapture our minds. We have to clean up and restore our morals and our values. Another person said, we need a way to reach our parents. All African-American parents must learn the importance of parenting their children. The next one says, in order to exert our humanity, we must become human again. Next piece said, this process begins in bold letter, self-love. You see this thing, I think this our group is understanding what it is to keep hearing over and over. Next comment was, we have been created and defined by the Western culture. No question. Know thyself, another one says, requires complete honesty and humility. Isn't that what the book is saying? For us, our oppressor has created our expression, which is depression. We are depressed mentally and emotionally. We've got to address that. The next thing on slide was to become our best selves. we must first know and then love ourselves. We can't tell people to love themselves if they don't know how to love themselves. Okay? The next slide of a person said, waking up is right, but many of us are not sleeping. We are comatose. Mm. Next, we're going to have to focus on the children. Many of our baby boomers are mentally and emotionally infant. No disrespect intended. Next, our children are literally raising themselves and each other. Next, we have to mature. Next, let us open another school.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Next, we got work to do. But in order to get the job done, we got to do it in a collective way, completely and unselfish. Next, we need our outlets and networks that disseminate the right information to our people. Amen. Next, we have to change ourselves before we try to change anybody else. Next, wake up, everybody. It's just a song. Until we begin to develop a culture of our own, we will remain forever Americans. Next, we have to learn to care for one another. My God, period. This is awesome. Brother Akla said this too. We need to love, here we go again, ourselves unconditionally. When a black business renders a bad service, don't shun them. Allow them to regain your trust like we do with others. I've seen it. We go to a black business, we don't like something, we fuss. We go to a white business in Durham when I've been here, and usually it's white females are really oppressive toward black males. And you come in and say something, they'll talk nasty to you. But then I say, I want to talk to the manager. The manager comes in and speaks nice and gives me a coupon, and I'm back with him. See? I'm letting the oppressor mess me up. We've got to love each other, okay, as much as possible. Next, they, the system, has taken over our music and are influencing our youth. This influence is a very dangerous one, and it drills and kills. Next, our children need leadership from the elders. We have to begin to influence our youth. See, we got to quit talking about the elders being old and don't know anything what's going on. They do know some things. We've got to come together. And we're talking about the National Come Together Day. And once we do that, we don't want a national movement. We'll have that every so often. We need local leadership, not somebody who's just going to fly in here, there, and everywhere. That's fine. And that's what Ella Baker was talking about the last time I was talking about it, okay? Next thing, the random and regular murder of members of our community best describes the state of the mind you can find in many communities around the country due to poverty. Until we began to lead our children, the world system will lead them directly to destruction. Just a few more. The problem is we hate ourselves. We just cannot admit it. We are integrated now. Those days of the civil rights movement are over. When they died along with Dr. King and Dr. X, we began to deteriorate. We need to shift our thinking. It causes us so much pain. One way we can do this is to organize, reorganize, and organize again. We got some powerful people on this line. The problem is our people don't know anything about anyone that lives prior to 1989. And that's why I say we got to return to our growth. And it comes to the fact is, what is it in our audience? What is it in Maxwell's mind that makes me come alive? What is it that turns me on? We got to find that in our community. And once we find that, we can work together. You know, no big eyes and you in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of what we have to go on. We can still grow in the love of self. It starts that way. And so yesterday, I want to look at what's going on now. My concept is that recreating the beloved group, not creating it, it's already been done. Want to use America, Then I want to go to Africa, one session, and then I want to go to the Middle Passage and the things that happened to us and how we overcome it. I'm glad that the brother, when he was talking about the field Negro and the house Negro, he hit the point right. But sometimes that was wrong because they would call him Uncle Tom. That was Harriet Beecher Stowe. Use that term. Uncle Tom was not the way we talk about Uncle Tom Cabot. So we went to this celebration of the life, okay? We're going to recapture this in Durham, North Carolina, of Miss Annie Lewis Crawford and her husband, James M. Ballantyne, okay? Miss Annie Ballantyne was born in Wasburg, North Carolina, in Anson County. I'm familiar with that. April the 2nd, 1942. This lady's story should be told, and her husband. She was the daughter of the late James Hugh Crawford and the late Laverna Dunlap Crawford. Miss Anna migrated to Durham, North Carolina, at a very early age with her mother and her siblings. She attended the Merrick Moore Black School in Durham County. She entered into matrimony at 17 after meeting the late James Ballantyne. And they were married by Reverend Fuller in a house ceremony on Burlington Street after receiving permission from their parents. This is what I'm talking about. In that day and time, young folks didn't just do what they wanted to do. It was a community in that house and something else. She was also employed in Duke University, and she worked for Operation Breakthrough, which was an operation that was in the city by black folks doing a lot of stuff, rebuilding houses, et cetera, et cetera. Before eventually opening her own child care center, this is what we're talking about. We've got to get back to opening our own stuff, in which this was her life passion, and she dedicated her life and spirit in teaching and educating our black kids. We got to do this. And the thing about her and Sylvia and Faheen, you know, Bruce knows them, said our mother had the reputation of pouring out love to those kids and the community, discipline, principles, and inspiration into those children. She was known for sending children back home cleaner and more beautiful and shining than they left. This lady, the parents would walk to the daycare center just to be amazed how good their children looked and had joy. She was not only a teacher, but she was a natural pathologist and a practitioner and a healer. And the parents often would thank her for what they had done in their life. Here was a woman. Nobody knows who she was. And when you had Ann Edwards and others that we knew about, this lady's name was not out front. We've got to have some foot soldiers, not just folks out front. People who do it and don't try to get any credit from it. And when she opened her daycare now, this is what we got to watch, okay? We want economic power and stuff. But here's what this woman recognized, that the people she was dealing with didn't have a whole lot of money. So Sylvia said her mother was the cheapest daycare rates of any place in Durham because she loved her community, that she put in service over profit. Service over profit. Service over profit. Yes, we do need to make profit, but she put something in there, service over profit. Even her siblings wrote that they would fuss with Mama sometimes about increasing her daycare rates, but she would rebut them and say this is her mission that the higher power had given her. She was taught hundreds of African-American children, and many of these children have gone on to become very productive adults. In fact, she taught over three generations of children over her 50 years, and her impact on their lives was their children's life. She met that former daycare parents in public places, et cetera, and et cetera. Some of the people that came up and in Durham They wasn't worrying about it because the Nation of Islam didn't get there till 1972. So she came early on in the 50s and married her husband in 59. So you didn't have this issue about one denomination over another. They got together, black women and black children and men got together to fight oppression in North Carolina, in Durham, North Carolina. Now, what she said was very important. Mm-hmm. One of the young ladies who I know and I taught, her name was Reverend Pebble Lindsay Lucas. She talked about being a little girl and how can you find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above ruby. Talking about the young lady. She said, now, when I was 5 years old, this lady, Miss Ann, would be sitting on her porch. And as she was walking home by herself, her mother would help them out. And she said, I was nervous walking by myself, but I would always see Miss Annie, and she would always speak to me and gave me comfort until I got home. That was a community. Black men, black women got together in Durham and got together and said, we need a community of our own. And they built it. They didn't care nothing about whether you was a top executive or a low executive and those kind of things. Now, and then somebody else got up and talked about she was a pioneer. What is a pioneer? She went to Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above his. What is a meaning of a pioneer? She was a woman who loved and had faith. What is the meaning of a pioneer? Mm-hmm. When this earthly tent is dissolved, we have another building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And if you place something in our kids, we cannot expect the dominant society to really teach our kids what needs to be taught. And then somebody else got up and talked about it. One of the imams came up. He said, I just like to thank this young lady. She didn't want to have any favorites. She didn't want to be out front. But she was, Miss Ballant, was a masterful, blessed woman. Mm-hmm. She just had a gift. And they say that God is no respecter of person. But I just believe there's just some people that God just smiled on, that he doesn't frown on other people, the fella said. She put her heart and mind. And when she went to the mosque, her husband, they would give something, and they would never talk about what they gave and when they gave. They were just there. She made bean pies. She didn't say, I'm a Nation of Islam in 72 or nothing. You never would have known what denomination you were because that was not important to her. And so she just, and we need more people like that, and we got them on the line. Then we had somebody that was doing acknowledgement and stuff. And he said, can you imagine April the 21st, 1973, this young lady was talking. I was honored that this virtuous woman, after 50 years of that, was there and helped me in the spirit to move in the way that I needed to go. She had a vision of the future, and when she saw something that needed to be done better, she went out and got it. And the reflections of her granddaughters and children was there. As a pioneer, she was very courageous. She was faithful, and she moved forward. She was selfless and considered others' needs even beyond her own needs sometimes. She was persistent and stayed on that battlefield until the job was done. This woman, Anna, she was motivated from within and not from without. She was a trailblazer in Durham. And nobody knows anything about, not many people, I should say. And then the eulogist was Mr. David Muhammad. And he writes this. He said she was important of getting housing, decent schools, living wages where people can have families. A community activist she was. She was a groundbreaker. And when tension was high, she always didn't go. She would just keep her cool and use her thing. Her daycare family was still there. She made her daycare affordable. So when we get these businesses now,
We got to remember now, if we're going to be a community, we can't necessarily charge now what the other folks charge if we out to do what it is that we do. And the brother say, I'm an OG. Yes, but she was powerful, and she can bake that bean pie, and you would never know what she was and her husband. And he said it was Bruce Bridges, while we was there, who taught him and told him about the Nation of Islam. And that made Bruce feel good. Didn't it feel good when somebody say something about you after all of these years that you didn't know? And so it was a love speech that went out in that place. The spirit of humanity, the spirit of love. And I went out saying, my God, what a thing to be. I'm going to bring this to my community today, that we love one another. And then I hope that the people on Slido can think about somebody in their community, or even on the call, maybe instead of a question, that this brought memories to you. And those of you who did not know anything about this, you're now being educated. So let me share a few little words from Dr. Frederick G. Sampson II. Though I have the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is kind. Love is giving. Love behaves itself unseemly. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now he says, now, what does love mean? He goes with this. He said, now, love suffereth long and kind. It does not carry itself unseemly. It does not rejoice in iniquity. But love is true. Mm-hmm. Believing all
Come
things.
Come on, Maxwell.
Enduring all things. Beareth all things, and yet hoping all things. We're not talking about somebody beating the Sam Hills out of you, but you find your way out. I need to love you, not because of your skin. And then he goes around and say, now, in his little speech, he said, now, we've got to rediscover what we already have. We've got to do it. And then Dr. Fred Sampson said this, we need people who don't just talk, but want to do something. And I'm about that, too. I'm talking now. But we got to do something, not because we got a bunch of money and all this together. But he said, we got to have a come together day, early days. I must learn to live beyond statistics. I tell my students, he said, if you know who you are and know why you are and know how to lay hold of your ultimate destiny, it is not the depth from which you come, but the character that you have on the inside. It's not that you came from a single parent home and on the other side of the track and live. That's with Maxwell. He said, but we talk too much about the negative, but the character you have on the inside, life is living, and the grave is not our goal. He said, I was born in Black Bottom. No father in the house, no welfare, but we had that, no Christmas trees and all that kind of stuff, but we had love there. Mm-hmm. Two black women and 14 kids, mother dear, auntie, and bones. They refused to believe that people calling them mammy, coons, and niggas, or people who knew, and I say this every time, people who know who they are, cannot and will not be defined by numbers. He said, in the dark of the ground, look at how we take something abandoned, and that seed dies in the ground, and it connects to the rich black soil. It bursts forth on the ground and thrusts forth, and when it comes out of the ground, oh, my God, all the elements in that ground that tried to destroy them could not do it. The seed learned how to bend and not break. It learned how to go up and stand tall. The seed knew how what the seed looked like. But you don't have to worry about how the seed looked like. Just put it in the ground. And I'm talking about everyone in this audience today. To love
right.
yourself, the real mm-hmm. person. And love starts with self, that stuff that's deep down on the inside of us that lets us know that we are somebody. And no matter what happens on the outside, and even the powers that be, we can make it together. And Dr. Sampson was a scientist too. He said when we lock arms together, we can do more with our arms locked together than we can try to do things all by ourselves. And you should not judge yourself by the clothes that you wear, by the hair that you wear, but you ought to judge yourself by the power that you got on the inside. Mm-hmm. And use that song, I say, ain't no stopping us. Now, yeah, you're trying to stop us, but we on the move. And he said, we're going to move from the bottom to the top. If someone is jealous of you, it's because they really want what you have. If sometimes they try to pull you down, no need to let them pull you down. Just stand still. If one sees an acorn on the ground, it doesn't look like much. But if you take that pineapple seed that's sweet and let it go through the infant stage and don't try to rush the process of metamorphosis. And when that pineapple grows, it don't look like too much of nothing. If you touch it the wrong way, it will stick to you. But if you handle it right and you cut it right, it has a sweetness on the inside. It's the sweetness on the inside that we should not let anything stop us and make us bend. Do not let folks judge you by your big nose and your nappy hair and that you don't have a 36-24 body, that you don't have a six-pack. Don't let them judge you because you don't have this and that. You don't have this house and that house. Because a house or apartment don't make a difference. It's the person in there that makes it. I used to say when I didn't have cars, I say the car don't make me. I make the car. And whatever I wear, I don't have to have somebody's name labeled on my behind to make me mm-hmm. feel like somebody. Uh-uh.
Come on.
I can have a pair of jeans with nobody's names on it because I know I got something on the inside. So he said, be like the pineapple. Mm-hmm. Though some of it spills when you cut it. Mm-hmm. He say, but you a king and you a queen. And you can find yourself in desert places. Where did it come from? It came from the root of rich soil, that pineapple. And now you know that pineapple is somebody and you are somebody. And he said, your destiny is inextricably bound up in what you think you are and who you are. Your goal in life. Your determination in life is not to try to be like somebody else, but be the best you that you can be. He said, if your daddy ain't in the house, you be the daddy. If you're the mother, and she's not in there, the tragedy in life does not lie in not reaching your goal. But the tragedy
That's right.
in life is having no goal to reach. It isn't the calamity of death of our dreams unfulfilled. But it's a calamity of not having a dream at all. It is not a disgrace not to reach your goal, but it's a disgrace not to have a goal to reach. Whatever you do, strive to do it so well that no man or no woman living and not born can do it any better than you. Every person is born into this world to do something uniquely, something distinct, something that would help them and the race. We too stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. We stand on the shoulders of those who have been there all along. And I just believe that if we just get together and we can hold our hands together, we can recreate. We don't have to do nothing new. This beloved community. But that love starts with us. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love, relationships are not going to be anything. And so our job is to teach us to love one another. We know what the problem is, but we're going to address the problem in a positive light, in a creative light. Because when God made every one of us, he put them all away. Away. And we have a uniqueness. Everybody on this broadcast has a uniqueness that we've got to discover, we've got to nurture, and we got to move forward. And so I want to say that we've got to move forward like Sister Valentine and Brother James Valentine. They gave their life to the cause. And nobody needs to know. When I first started out here, I said, they ain't got to know what I do. Just know what I say. Because sometimes when you give a lot of credentials, it turns some people off. But if you say something that inspires people, it can make a difference in your life. And so I want to know if there's anybody that's on the call, got anything that they would like to share very briefly about somebody in their life, in their community, that helped them out. If that's all right, Brother Marvin.
All right, let's go to the lines. 0148, we're talking about the beloved community, and Dr. Maxwell is just asking for just a brief summary of your story. 0148, are you there? All right, let's go down to 4592, 919-4592, are you there?
Yes.
All right, welcome to the show. Dr. Maxwell has a question. Dr. Maxwell, you can ask the question.
Yes, sir. Have you experienced anyone in your life, like Miss Anna Louise Crawford Ballantyne and Brother James M. Ballantyne in the community where you lived that inspired you?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Her name was Carrie Hargrove. And she was an activist in Durham, and she was the director of a recreation center we used to go to in North Durham. And she inspired all of us to, just be the best people we could be. And she showed us a lot of love, and I always was grateful to her for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Anybody else?
Thank you. Thank you, Carla. All right, let's go down to 4692-804-4692. Has anyone stood in the gap for you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I thank God for this opportunity to hear stories that are often not repeated, but touch your heart. And just as the brother said, takes you back to a time where someone stood in the gap. And his name was Clinton Leroy Gladden, Jr., and fifth grade education, but had more wisdom in through life and sharing, and contributed significantly to my development. And still to this day, I have letters that he wrote me between the ages of 10 and 20 that I would say raised me from anything from knowing how to navigate this world as it relates to other people, your education, your community, and your commitment, even down to dealing with these rascally young men. So I pay homage to Clinton Leroy Gladden, Jr.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sister. Amen. All right. 0288-919-0288.
Hey,
Dr.
Bruce.
Yes,
I'm here. Thank you. Thank you for the welcome, Brother Marvin. I appreciate the welcome, and I want to thank Dr. Maxwell for the tremendous comments he made, and I just love the way that he weaved our experience yesterday at the homegoing for Sister Anna Ballantyne into telling our story and of us coming together as a community. I like the way he weaves all that in, and I figured he'd do that because while sitting beside him yesterday, as we sit and read the program and comments that he made, I said he's going to be on tomorrow and he's going to use this experience that we have here today at the First Calvary Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina, that he's going to use that experience to weave it into your program today. So as usual, I don't like to take up too much time, but I do want to answer the question Dr. Maxwell asked. And I have to give credit when I think about my growth and my development to people in Durham, North Carolina, like Brother Howard Fuller, also a brother who has now gone to the ancestors named Benjamin S. Lefton, who used to come to MacDougall Terrace to pick me up in his 1969 Malibu Chevrolet car. He had just gotten to go to civil rights meetings, and I remember being about 14, 15 years old, and Ben would pick me up, and we'd go to the meetings, and I was tremendously impacted by what I heard at the organizing meeting. And even further, after being inspired by those people, I went on, as Dr. Maxwell said in his comments, to Muhammad's Mosque, number 34 in Durham, North Carolina, under Kenneth X. Murray from Baltimore, Maryland, and he turned me on and had me listening to his lectures on Sunday and then being mad and upset with the foolishness that I thought I was getting at NCCU on Monday and using what he was teaching to combat and to go against and contradict and to disagree with what the teachers at NCCU were saying. So, but all that was during growth. That was during a period of growth. And then just to end my conversation, because Dr. Maxwell has always, as Brother said yesterday, Dr. Maxwell, everybody before him had already given a lecture, so I'm not going to give another lecture. But after being turned on to Kenneth X and then still studying Huey Newton and Bobby Seale and then getting turned on by African revolutionaries like Sekou Toure of Guinea and like Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana and like Jomo Kenyatta of Kenya and like Thomas Sankara of Burkina Faso and Maurice Bishop of the island of Grenada down in the Caribbean. All of these are the people and ancestors that I can thank for causing me to grow and to become whatever I may have become, good to some, bad to some, indifferent to others, or whatever the case may be. But that's what caused it. But I'll keep listening, Brother Marvin.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce.
And you know, I definitely want to hear from some more callers. I want to hear from some more callers, my brother.
All right. All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. There are people who've been standing in the gap in our lives. Go ahead.
I was just about to say that I turned some new people on to you, too. So they may not understand the system of the last four numbers that you suck call because, they, you know, because you got some new people that I turned on to today.
All right. Thank you, Dr. All right. So I'll explain it, right? What we do is we just call out the last four numbers. Sometimes I do the first three, the area code, the last four. But if you're welcome to call, 845-277-9250 is the call-in number. We have Slido on deck. All you got to do is go out to slido.com and put in the number 129-7790 to put your comment in, 845-277-9250. All right, let's go back to the lines. 0673, who stood in the gap in your life? 804-0673, who stood in the gap in your life?
Hey, hold up, Sir Kevlon, how you doing?
Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm right. I'm doing fine. I was doing volunteer work at a juvenile correctional center, and I don't know the brother's name because once you leave there, they don't forward you their number. But the brother was telling me, this long before I met Bruce, long before I met Brother George and you, this brother who was in the maximum security prison was telling me about our greatness, right? And this prison system that we had was created. So I think he was just saying to justify, some excuse for why he's being locked up, right? He kept trying to tell me about our greatness, kings and queens, and what we've done as a people.
Now, had he not been locked up, I would listen to him. Because he was a juvenile, because he's a maximum security prison, I said, you know, this brother know what he's talking about. So he started to give up on me. So he sent me a touching letter, right? He said, brother, I was to give up on you, you know. He said, but then I'm going to give you one more shot, you know. I always break down.
So, like, take your time, brother.
He said, I started to give up on you. But we'll try one more chance, you know. And I said, brother, I don't know about Africa. I don't know about our greatness, right? I do know one thing. You try to reach me, but you don't know how to do it. All I ask you, don't give up, brother. Just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, you know. Now, finally, he did the research and was able to substantiate what he was talking about. But I wouldn't listen to him because he was incarcerated. And a lot of times, we miss our blessing because of a person's situation. We assume that they don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know this guy. I'll never see him again in my life. But I, you know, I had to pay to give him much respect for not giving up on me. And I knew he had something to tell me, but he just couldn't reach me. I said, just don't give me one more shot. He didn't give up on me, and I finally came around. And that's all I had to say, brother.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin. I appreciate you, man. I do. Thank you for being transparent and sharing. All right, Dr. Maxwell, mm-hmm. I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. I'm going to probably, on my four Saturdays, try to deal with psychology, sociology. But also, next time, I want to go back to the mother country. Because like people say, we don't know our history. And the things that came from the continent of Africa. We got to take our time. And then come through that middle passage. You had to have strength to do that. And then to get on the plantation and how we survived. We always had coping and survivor skills. We would sing, you know, songs and go out in the brush arbor at night because of their relationship to the higher power. When we go to Africa, we talk about spirituality. And religion, and I think the more we know, and when I went to Dr. Bridges' bookstore, I'm going to tell you, he had what he was sort of like comic books, but they weren't no comic books. They were black inventors, and I got every one I could, and I found out when I would go to churches and other places, and I shared that information, people lit up. Because they just did not know all the things. And we cannot depend on the public or even the private educational system to mm-hmm. train up our people and our minds. And I can't think of the name of it, but we also got to we got to develop some skills when we was in school. They took that out of schools.
Yep.
Right? We had woodwork, and we was learning how to do that. I learned how to process film and stuff like that. And we got to put something where people can create stuff by what they have, what they learned. Because everybody is not going to do the same thing. Yes. So I don't want to call it a school now or anything like that, but something in place, seminars, that we can train like Miss Valentine, okay, and her husband in that community. She took care of those kids and the parents. And made a beautiful situation. I said, my God. And I had a chance to be a part of her daughter's and Fahim Knight's wedding. Fahim worked with me at a federal halfway house. And I was honored when he asked me to be one of the participants along with one of the imams. And, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. And when I was raised, and I was around Muslims, around everybody, I keep telling it, nobody told us that one religion or one organization was better than the other. We need one another. And yesterday, I felt that presence. And Dr. Bridges is right. I said, I got to try my best to try to recapture that. Her attributes, and I'm trying to use women too. We got a lot of men. Going to use them too. But some unsung heroes. But they ain't looking to be heroes or sheroes. They're trying to make a contribution in our life. As a person thinker, so are he and she. And so we got to find some common ground that we can find something like. Mm-hmm. That's important. It's important, Doc.
I don't know if Brother Marvin can even hear me or not.
Yeah, I can hear you. Go
okay,
right ahead, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not. I'm thinking about what Dr. Maxwell just said, and you know, Brother Marvin and Brother George always talk about how I always like to share information, and I hope he still listens to this program. The brother that called in and said he grew up in Northern Durham, in North Durham. I'm trying to make it more like white folk, Northern Durham. Grew up in North Durham in Albright, the Albright community. I hope he's still on because he told me he's reading a tremendous book, Dr. Maxwell, and I think you gave him that book. And if that number is still on, Brother Marvin, I'd like for him, because of what Dr. Maxwell just said, to just read some of those unknown inventions that he told me yesterday that he's reading this book about. I can't think of the name of the book, but that caller is still on the line, Brother Marvin. I think the last four numbers might be 592 or 72 or something like that, 919 number. If that caller is still on the line, I'd like for him to just let our listeners know, because they'd just be shocked at some of these inventions by black Americans that Dr. Maxwell talked about. He got from the series of books, the Golden Legacy books. But my brother from Albright community, if he's still on, still on, Brother Mark?
Let's try 4592.
I think that's
hold on
it.
One second,
maybe,
Dr. Bruce.
Okay,
yes, sir.
4592, you there?
Yes, sir.
And I was talking long enough, brother, to give you time to go get the book, too. Yeah, so, and you told me that's a tremendous book. Do you mind sharing some of those inventions without going into them with our listeners, and then they might want to go a little further on their own?
Okay, let me just and pull up a few. It's so many. Okay, midwifery in the first C-sections, the oldest surgical text, bone setting, amputations, and prosthetics. The origin of animal domestication. Original people made dogs. Original people made pigs. Original people made turkeys. Original Egyptians made cats. Original Arabs made horses. Egyptians made donkeys, cows. The origins of malaria and cures. This book is about 234 pages, and is full of inventions about made all over the world by black people, and it covers practically everything. And this book, need to mention too, was a gift from Brother Maxwell.
And it's not just about black people then in the United States, it's about our contribution
all over the world.
Okay.
Yeah, all over the world.
What is the name? What is the name of the book?
The name of the book is Black People Invented Everything. The author is Dr. Suhan Kumar Das.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do a little spelling on that last name? Author's name?
Dr. Suhan, Sujan, Kumar, Kumar, Das, Dass.
All right. Thank you, brother. Let's go out and try to get that book, right? Put it in your library,
right?
And then put it in your mind and down in your spirit. Thank you, brother. Anything else you want to ask Dr. Maxwell or Dr. Bruce before we move on?
Jeff, what reminds me
No,
is,
I just want to say that I thoroughly enjoyed the show, and that's all I want to add. That's it.
All right.
And what,
thank you, brother.
What got me, Brother Marvin, some of those early things he mentioned in the medical field, because we oftentimes don't know that we know about the peanut with George Washington Carver, which was great. We understand the cotton gin and some of the other early inventions, the wireless telephone and the hot and cold running water. We understand that we had all that. But some of those early ones in that medical field, most times we don't know about those early ones that the caller just mentioned. I think he mentioned something about, we couldn't hear him too good, surgical, something in the surgical field.
Is the sound coming in clear?
I guess he probably couldn't hear me, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'm here.
You were saying something about the surgical field and...
could you repeat?
There's a whole chapter on black people invented surgery, midwifery, in the first C-section. They wrote the oldest surgical texts, antiseptic bandages from spider webs, ancient antibiotics, needles, bone setting, amputations, and prosthetics, brain surgery, obsidian scalpels that beat surgical steel, and anesthesia, the origins of dope.
And brother Marvin and brother George and Dr. Maxwell, and to the caller, what this all reminds me of, it ties right back into what Dr. Maxwell was saying about the fruits and planting the seeds in the ground and the seed trying to come up and make it through all kinds of adversities to become the fruit. What we notice is that many of those inventions that the caller mentioned were actually found in the natural creation before human beings put what they saw in the real world by the creator into work. For example, he mentioned something about surgery and bandages or something related to spider webs. Black people in ancient times studied the natural creation, and they saw the spider spinning a web. But from the spinning of that web, they were able to understand that if you spin a web in a certain way, or if you get a piece of string just like the spider did, then you could begin to make bandages to tie a person's finger back on, maybe not that, but you know, put something back together. In the same way, the spider would tie up his enemies, you see. So my point is, whatever we do, we cannot take it back beyond the natural creation. Whatever we see that human beings have created today, it first of all was seen in the natural creation by the creator of the sun, moon, and stars, whatever you may call it, as Dr. Maxwell says, which is another lecture. You see? So
well,
now we have the mouth of the river. We have the eye of the storm. You see? We have the foothills. You see? We have the, anyway, it goes on. Everything goes back to what the creator put around us to use our minds to draw from. And that's what we have to do. And that's what black people did.
All right. We need to continue to do that. We definitely need to continue to do that. We're going to go back to the lines again as a new number on. So we'll go back to 7789-7789-919-7789. Who has stood in the gap in your life? Is there a person in there? Or community or organization that stood in the gap in your life? 7789, would you share with us? Right again, 7789 is just listening. All right, let's go back up and see if we can touch in with 0148 you there.
Thank you for taking my call. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so very much, Brother Maxwell, for your presentation. My offering for today, and I've listened intensely, and I will definitely pour libations in honor of Anna Crawford Ballantyne in her remembrance. But what I have to offer is this. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. None other help I know. If thou should withdraw thyself from me, tell me whither shall I go? thank you so very much for this presentation this evening. I really, really am full, and I really feel honored to be in this lecture on this evening, and hopefully we can continue. This has been a very good lecture. Thoughts of Sister Denise Wilson L. out of Georgia came to mind. Thoughts of William Rogers came to mind. Now adding on Anna Crawford Ballantyne. Thank you all so very much. And from Montgomery, Alabama, presentation has been felt. Peace and blessings until next time.
All right. Thank you, Brother Lush. Powerful. I love it. This is what this show is all about, right? It's about education. It's about growing and developing, but it's also reaching back for us to reach out so we can reach up. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell. So I'll turn it back over to you, but if you don't mind me sharing before I turn it over to you, there have been so many people that have added to who I am, and what comes to mind is my parents and my family, number one, but and my church, right? They put us in the Boy Scouts. They put us in the choir. They put us in youth programs. It was things like that that helped us, right? So both of my parents were Scout leaders, and so we went on camping trips, and we got opportunities to experience so many different experiences through the church, but also recreation and parks, and my football coaches and my basketball coaches who gave me encouragement, who gave me discipline, who gave me organizational skills, right? He taught me how to win and how to lead and how to follow. So all of those people gave their beard. So many, Coach George, Coach Bingham, right? JW was one of my first coaches who taught me discipline. And they taught us discipline with the paddle back then, but they gave it to us. Coach Lou Anderson, my high school football coach, thank you so much. It's people like that, Coach Stork and all those other men who poured in, Coach Brayboy, and it just goes on and on and on. So I just want to say Coach Cut, Coles, thank you. Those Coach Parker, thank you. So many coaches in my life that added and contributed. And lastly, Miss Virginia Jackson, who was a daycare provider as well, Dr. Maxwell, who gave 50 to 70 years to young people that cleaned them up just like you talked about and gave them values and taught them words like defecation, right? Those kind of things, that those value points that we have people in the community that are there that are standing in the gap. Thank you for allowing me to share, Dr. Maxwell.
Amen, amen. Close out with poem on love. Love the folks in your community. Don't judge them by their clothes on their back or the car that they drive or the shoes that they have on. Love means something. I love myself, not because of the hue of my skin and what I need. And I love you, not because of who I am, but who I am when I'm with you. I love you because you took the side roads of my life. And with love and respect, you made that back road a highway of promise and purpose. Because you took the shackles of my life and my nothingness, and together we came together and made it a castle. Young people, don't talk about how big your house is, because you might have a 20-room house, but if you don't have love, hope, and respect for one another, you just got more rooms to be lonely in. But if you can live in a garage, a wheelbarrow, but if you can love yourself and the person with you and recognize this, that you can help one another out, then we can turn this garage into a palace. And there's more. Love is the key. Though I have the tongues of men and of angels and women and have not love, I'm a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. In other words, I'm just making noise. And all of those attributes in 1 Corinthians are positive things to have. That first division, look at it. But without love, it means nothing.
the middle pass of that verse starts telling you what love is. And at the very end, it says faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish stuff. And I think if we can just start feeling good about ourselves, the joy and that love, and when we start moving this to another, I don't want to say level because that's European construction, but the circle in Africa, where nobody is any closer than the higher power or the power than anybody else. So African use the circle and not this hierarchical kind of stuff. So thank you for the opportunity to share. Thank you, Dr. Bridges, for your friendship, Brother Marvin, Brother George, Brother Cavalier, and Brother Lush, and all of you there who and young people I don't know, but I do know their voices who speak in truth, not to power, but preaching truth to us, because one guy said this, you give an authentic power to the government. The government don't care what we have to say. So we need to speak truth to one another. We are giving the government unauthentic power. And if we can start loving ourselves little by little, it's going to take a moment. I'm not going to try to cover too much territory in one session, but keep building on it. And sometime as we move into 2024, we ought to be ready. And Brother Marvin and I have already pledged what you're doing, and thank God for you, brother. I'm going to support you with my time, my talent, and my treasure to be an encouragement to what you're doing, because I'm just amazed about it. We got to say as men, I love you. Don't make us funny. And tell each
That's
other,
right.
I love you with that agape love. And we going to make it.
I'm good.
I'll finish the love poem later.
All right. That's beautiful. Beautiful, Dr. Maxwell. And I love you, too. I love each and every one of you. And we have to learn how to love each other and love ourselves first. Final comments, Dr. Maxwell, before we get out. Dr. Bruce, we want to ask you for final comments as well.
Let's find somebody today, tomorrow, whenever, and tell them that you love them and tell them why. It'll make you feel good. It'll make them feel good. And let's start planting this seed of love in our own life and let it germinate to the people that we have to encounter, whether they love us back or not.
I like that.
What Dr. Maxwell just said, Brother Marvin, if you can let David Ruffin add to it, this is my quest. To follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far.
Yeah.
Let it play. David Ruffin, Gone to the Ancestors, another great one. He's saying it all in the background. So let that be heard as my comments on the way out. To be willing to bond.
Let me say one more thing. At this time, just call me Lafayette. You don't have to call me. I don't need that title. I just want to be Lafayette. I was named after my father, and I'm proud of it. And you would not, nobody would be disrespecting me to call me Lafayette.
All right.
So I'm
all right.
To my peace and quietness, you're sure to find. And the world would be better for this. We'll be better for this. Like when man scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to be willing to march into hell with his last ounce.
To reach. I don't know to reach. Come on, y'all. Let's keep reaching.
Excited, but he didn't do it like David, but he did it like him.
All right, that's all we have for this week, y'all. Continue to stand in the gap. Continue to love yourself and continue to love each other. Until next week, peace and blessings. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell.
Thank you, brother.
Brother Lafayette.
Yeah. Lafayette. No.
All right. Thank you, sir. Peace and blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.